It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. The proposed settlement in the lawsuit over Rhode Island's pension overhaul and the latest on the Democratic primary in the gubernatorial race. That's all part of the discussion this week on our political roundtable. Our host, political reporter Ian Donis, is out on jury duty, so I'll be filling in for him. We're joined, as always, by Scott McKay, Rhode Island Public Radio's political analyst. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
And our special guest today is Providence Mayor Angel Taveras, who's also a candidate in the Democratic race for governor. Thanks for joining us again on Political Roundtable.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, before the snowstorms and the freezing rain and the rain, Rhode Island got some details on the settlement that could end the legal challenge from public employee unions to changes in the state pension system. The deal rolls back some of the savings, and it would cost Providence more than $1 million in the first year alone if it becomes law. Mayor, do you think this is a good deal?
Well, I'm not going to rush to judge. I mean, I was briefed on this less than 48 hours ago. The settlement was made public, I think, less than a week ago. And it's obviously very complicated with respect to the pension overhaul. I will say this. I think that negotiations, I've always said, were very important. I'm glad that we engaged in good faith negotiations. There's a lot that we need to look at, including the impact this has on taxpayers, on retirees, on workers, on cities and towns. I'll be part of the meeting with the Rhode Island League of Cities and Towns in March to discuss this further. And we also need to look at the alternative, and that is that the alternative could be devastating for our economy here in the state of Rhode Island. So I'll have more to say about this in the future, but I'm going to be looking into the details and appreciate the briefing I received from the governor's office.
Maureen, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd like to respectfully disagree in one regard. I mean, one of the things that I see here is we haven't resolved the ultimate problem. So when people talk about certainty, there's really not a lot of certainty because we don't know what's going to happen down the road at the next time. And when people talk about legal fees and, you know, that kind of thing, I mean, the state has a very good case, and I'm really disappointed that they didn't pursue this.
You know, that's a nice thing to say in the classroom, Professor, but here's the problem. In the real world, the financial implications of doing what you say could stick the taxpayers with $400 to $500 million more. And it's much better to have a settlement that at least gives you, because in the long term, we're all dead. We don't know what's going to happen 23 years from now. That's what the unfunded liability is about. But in the short term, for the next 5 to 10 years, it's much better for state government to have some kind of certainty. I mean, every time...
Scott, you know, and I know, that the unions didn't want this to go to trial. The state has a very solid case. And the idea that the Supreme Court would strike down all the legislation from 2008 through this period is completely out of the question.
No. Here's the problem. What if they just said, look, your defined benefit pension is yours, but all the COLAs are up to the legislature? The cost of that would be enormous. The mayor's a lawyer. If you have a case where you preserve 94% of what you have, do you really want to go to trial, Mayor?
As I said earlier, I mean, I think it's important to look at the alternative. And let me tell you something. I spoke to a lawyer not too long ago, and we talked about slam dunk cases. And he was a litigator. And he said to me, you know, all the slam dunk cases I had, I lost. And so you have to be careful. There's no such thing as a slam dunk case. If you look at Obamacare, for example, that was a 5-4 decision by the United States Supreme Court. 5-4 decision. One vote going another way, we'd have a totally different situation in our country. So I understand the desire to resolve this. But one thing, if you can get a settlement where all parties agree, you do have a sense of finality and certainty.
And Mayor Taveras, as mayor of Providence, you negotiated some pension changes with the union and with retirees. What were the concerns there? And, you know, could the outcome have been different for the state if they had approached it in that way?
Well, we had a bit of a different pension system in the city of Providence. We had 5 and 6% compounded COLAs that were given out in 1989, 1990, 91. And they really depleted our system. In 1991, we had a system that was 57% funded. In 2012, it was 32% funded. We needed to eliminate those 5 and 6% compounded COLAs that were doubling people's pensions every 13 and 15 years. We did. And we made other took other steps to save about $186 million on our unfunded pension liability. We capped pensions. So we took the steps necessary there because I wanted to make sure to avoid bankruptcy that I think would not only be devastating to the city of Providence, I think it would have been a real big black eye to the state of Rhode Island.
But what about the state? I mean, your opponent, State Treasurer Gina Raimondo, one of the architects of this pension overhaul and got pushed through the General Assembly, but what if the state had approached this as Providence did and negotiated with the unions?
Well, I was one that encouraged negotiations even after the legislation was passed. Some disagreed with me. I think that we're seeing now that when you sit down and negotiate, there are ways to come to an agreement. And one other thing I'd say about an agreement, if you have an agreement where everyone's a bit unhappy, it's probably a good agreement. And that's because that's the art of negotiating and reaching a deal.
A new study from the Economic Progress Institute in Washington shows Rhode Island's rocky recovery from the recession has widened income inequality. If you're elected governor, what would you do to try to bridge that gap?
Well, we have to do a lot of things to bridge the gap of income inequality. And one of the reasons I started with universal pre-K is because we need to start investing early in our children. It's one of the best investments we can make. Education was the path out of poverty for me, and it's the path out of poverty for many, many people. That's not the only solution. I mean, there are other things we have to do. I want to raise the minimum wage, and by doing that, we can lift millions of people nationally out of poverty, and that's important as well. I want to make sure that we close the wage gap in Rhode Island that exists, and the gender wage gap as well. We need to grow our economy and make sure that we provide more opportunities for people to work. There is not an easy solution to income and inequality. There are many things we must do and many things we must do well.
Maureen Moakley, is education and a higher minimum wage, is that the answer to
inequality? Well, the interesting thing is, are you talking about a federal minimum wage or are you talking about changing the minimum wage in the state?
Oh, no, I'd like to see it done both. One, I propose to do it at the state level. I know that there's federal legislation as well, and I support that as well. But I'm not going to wait in terms of the federal government doing that. We know that Congress is slow to act sometimes, so I think we have a responsibility to do it here at the state level.
The question is, what do you propose to do in the sense that you have indicated, I think thoughtfully so, when you talk about pre-K, some ways that we're going to pay for this? You know, candidates now come up and they say, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to spend $10 million on this. How are we going to pay these bills in this very fragile economy?
I think that's a great point, Professor. And one of the things I try to do when I propose my pre-K was to point out the different funding streams, including using some Title I dollars, not all, but a small fraction of it, changing the way that we service our fleet, trying to reduce overtime, not eliminate it, because I've been an executive long enough to know that it's easy to say you're going to eliminate it. It's a lot more difficult to do in practice, but if we can reduce it by a small percentage, that will also fund it. So I've try to be very specific about the things that we can do and propose at least three different funding streams for universal pre-K that I would phase in over a number of years.
We're almost out of time here, but Mayor Tavares, one of your challenges in the gubernatorial primary is fundraising, and your opponent, Gina Raimondo, so far is ahead of you. How is that going, and what are you doing to try to catch up?
Oh, well, let me tell you, we just had the most successful fundraising quarter that we ever had last year, fourth quarter, after I announced for governor, and I am very, very pleased with the support that we have across the state. We have over $1 million cash on hand. We expect to raise a lot more before the primary, and one thing we've learned in Rhode Island, you need enough money. You don't need the most. And we've learned that just recently. The last gubernatorial race showed us that.
Scott McKay, you've watched a lot of elections here in Rhode Island. What do you think? How much does the mayor need?
Well, the mayor needs to catch up, but he is right. Money is a lot of things in politics, but it's not everything.
How about the People's Pledge? Where are you coming on that? Is that just a lot of window dressing, or is there anything real to it?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm very, it's been interesting you say that, because the People's Pledge, when I first proposed it, it was called a charade. It was called a stunt. It was called not in good faith. It was called all sorts of things by one of my opponents, and now she has always been for it. So it's interesting to see that full circle that she's come on that issue, and we're negotiating that, and we hope that we can reach an agreement on that. I'm pleased to see how far she's come in such a short time on the People's Pledge, so hopefully we can find a way to do it. If they did it in Massachusetts, we can do it here in Rhode Island.
We're out of time, so we'll have to leave it there. We're funded by our listeners and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoyed the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org. And our special guest, Providence Mayor Angel Tavares, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.